Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. This is the reading of God's Word. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant us, all of us, an ear to hear. So through your word that we will hear loving voice of our God. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Let us see them clearly and rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. As we hear your word, let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We said that verse 3 through verse 14 is Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And from verses 3 to 8, we see the content of Paul's thanksgiving. Paul tells us why he is thanking our God. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. He's thanking God. I mean, obviously, he thanks God for many, many other things, but in our passage, he is thanking God for two things. First, for their faith in Christ Jesus. And the second, their love for all the saints. And we saw those two things last time. Paul is thanking our God for their faith and love. And we continue, and verse 5 says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. And this is a very important verse. We must understand what it's saying. See, it says that their faith and love are because of the hope laid up in heaven. And this hope they have heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Today and the next time, we will look at this hope. There is just too much to say in just one sermon. Well, we begin with a question. What is the gospel? Gospel meaning good news. What is that? Well, the gospel is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us. See, his death on the cross for our sins and his perfect righteous life for you and me. But here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, we see that the gospel is also the hope laid up for us in heaven. In terms of how our church says all the time, the hope of heaven. The gospel is Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and his kingdom, heaven. Well, that's why our church's name is Christ and Heaven, OPC. The gospel that is void of heaven is not the gospel of the Bible. And we learn a very important biblical principle here in verse 5. The members of the Colossian church lived by faith and loved each other very much. That faith and that love, where do they come from? According to our verse, they spring from the hope laid in heaven. See, these people lived by faith and loved each other because of the hope laid in heaven. In other words, it is because they have the hope laid in heaven that they were able to live by faith and love one another. We want our faith to grow, and we want to love each other more and more. And this verse tells us how we could do this. It says for us to have the hope laid in heaven. Then, because of that hope, you will live by faith and you will love. See, as we live with the hope laid in heaven, then we are able to live by faith and love one another. This is what our passage, our verse, is teaching us today. See, this is God's method. This is His design. It's not so much that you go out and you try to love on your own strength, and you try to have faith in Jesus Christ on your own strength. No, you are to have hope laid in heaven and then faith and love will come. Of course, if faith increases, then love also increases, and the hope laid in heaven also increases, and each one of these increases as it does, the other two will increase, of course. Faith and love and hope are all related in this sense. We already talked about faith and we already talked about love. Now our focus is on hope. Here in Colossians, Paul emphasizes that because of the hope laid for us in heaven, we will live by faith and love one another. So we must understand what this hope is so that we could possess that hope, so that we may live by faith and love one another more and more. Now, this hope, as it says, that it is hope laid in heaven. I mean, that is simple enough, but so many Christians misunderstand this. This is not the worldly hope. It is not the hope of becoming wealthier or healthier in this world. It is the hope laid in heaven. There are many things involved. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious resurrection of our bodies, the eternal life with our God, the eternal heavenly fellowship with our God and one another, and the eternal heavenly inheritance, and so on and so on. See, you will see Paul later in this letter, in chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, you are called to set your mind on the things above, not on the earthly things. Because your hope is hope laid in heaven. And if you live by that hope, God says that you will be able to live by faith and you will be able to love more and more. Because this faith and love are because of the hope laid up in heaven. See, if you set your mind on the things of this world, the worldly hope hinders living by faith and loving one another biblically. Here we are reminded of what our Lord said in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Here the seed is the word, the gospel. And he says in chapter 4, verse 16 through 19, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, it says, even as you hear the word, you worry about the worldly things. Worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and it chokes the word. They choke the word. And those seed will be unfruitful. You have to set your mind on the things above. Because if you set your mind on the things in this world, then you will be unfruitful. Now, you know, fruitful here is not about you becoming successful in this world. We're talking about spiritual fruitfulness. I mean, being successful in this world, you don't even have to believe in God. Even non-Christians, they make it big out there. If you ever wonder why you have hard time living by faith and biblically loving one another, then our verse gives you the answer. It is because you do not have your eyes focused on the hope laid in heaven. You must live by the hope of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. I think people are getting cold. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Like I said so many times, I mean, you could be called all these things, but if you're called the enemy of the cross, there's nothing worse than that. And who are these enemies of the cross? What do they do? It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things. They set their minds on earthly things. When you set your mind on earthly things, obviously you don't do that to suffer and you know. When you set your minds on earthly things, you want more of the earth. But the cross, our Lord's cross, is all about suffering. So you live as the enemy of the cross. You are opposite of what that cross really means. First John chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. The world will speak its own. And if these people who are from that world, they will listen to those things because they are of the world. The people who belong to the world will speak as from the world. And the world will definitely listen to them. But we do not belong to the world. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 16, when he prays to God, he's saying, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John chapter 15, verse 19b, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. John chapter 3, verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. See, if you belong to the world, then you will speak as if you belong to the world. Well, not as if, you will speak as one who is belonging to the world. But God has chosen you out of the world. You do not belong to the world anymore. Then so you will not listen to what the world says. Because having hope laid in heaven means that you will not listen to what the world says. You and I, we do not put our hopes on this world. You truly don't have any hope in this world. Our purpose is not having more of the things of this world. That is not why we live. You know, if this world is everything, if there's no heaven, then we are the most pathetic people in the whole universe. I keep telling you, if this is everything, if this world is everything, then we must have it. But it's not. There are better things, even though it's not visible. And we are to seek that better things. Because at the end, if you don't have that better things, you will really be sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me turn on this one, maybe. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You know, Bible is very practical. Bible, you know, if this world is everything, then Christians are, we should be pitied the most, because here we are trying to not live by, you know, worldly patterns, and our hope is never in this world, and we are not living for gathering the things of the world, but there's no heaven. And then you truly have nothing. If you go down to verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. This is what Bible says. If there's no resurrection, meaning if there's no heaven, then let's just eat and drink. Tomorrow we die and that's it. Oh, then we just live just like the world. I mean, if there's no heaven, then the Bible is false. And if that is, then what matters? You do whatever your evil desire want to do and just eat and drink because we all die. And that's it. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? The reason why we are able to triumph over with joy the sufferings and the persecution and the loneliness is our hope laid for us in heaven. Heavenly hope and heavenly joy. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is a bit long, but let's go there and read it together. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read to you from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, what you possess in Jesus Christ, they are reserved in heaven. You cannot touch it right now. You cannot see it right now. It's reserved in heaven. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. It says a lot of things, but that you are able to live with joy, even though sometimes you will go through trials. But you are able to live with joy because this inheritance that you have in heaven, because of your hope in heaven, because who you are in heaven, because what you possess in heaven, that you don't mind whatever situation you might find yourselves in this world. You understand that that's temporary. I mean, longest will be, what, 100 years now? Some people live up to 100 now. That's all. 100 years out of eternity is not even a second. And we do not focus on that short time in your eternal life, because to do so is being a foolish. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. See, you understand that the suffering during this life for 100 years longest, compared to glory that you possess in heaven for eternity, there's no comparison. So that you could go through this life with joy no matter what circumstances that you find yourselves in. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. It tells us, well, let me just read to you first. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. See, biblical hope is not the same as when the world says hope. You know, in the world, people say, I hope, meaning that it's not certain. But biblical hope is certainty. And it is called hope in the Bible because it is not seen. But through your faith, you are certain of it, but it's not seen. And that is why Bible calls it hope. Because Bible says, if you could see it, then you will not call it hope. In heaven, you cannot see it. That's why we call that hope. But it's certain. Because you believe. The hope laid in heaven is not visible hope. It's heavenly hope. That's why without faith, you cannot hope. Only by faith, you will be able to do it. You must remember that our sufferings produce this hope. And that's another thing you really need to sit down and think about it, you know. Because automatically, world thinks suffering is something bad. Well, sometimes when you're teaching your younger ones, the worldly people might even say, well, little suffering is good for you. But that's just little suffering. But see, even the worldly person understands that little suffering right now is actually going to produce much better situation later. But it is within the worldly time, within your worldly life. That's where he got it wrong. So it's not the same thing as what Bible says. What Bible says is that better thing will come after you die. That's why this is most ridiculous thing. When world hears this, they will laugh at this. What are you talking about? You put your whole life on the things that is not seen. And they might even say, you don't even know because you don't see it yet. But our answer is that I know for certain because I believe. See, they think that just because I say I believe, that necessarily my belief is just so weak that I'm not even certain about it. But this suffering will produce this hope. So for us, suffering is not a bad thing. It's actually God's blessing. Actually giving you the opportunity to participate in the life of Christ. His life was all about suffering. And he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yes, our hope will never disappoint us. See, if you are the recipient of God's grace, then as you suffer more, you will hope in heaven more and more. This is also God's design. You will know that there is no hope in this world. You will know clearly that when Jesus comes back, this world and everything in this world will be completely destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteous dwells. He's reasoning with you. If everything you see here will be burned up, it will be completely destroyed, then how should you live your life here on earth? He's asking you this question so that you could answer in your heart. How should I live? What should be my purpose? If everything that I see, everything that I possess here on earth will be completely destroyed one day. Because if you live for the things that will be destroyed, then, man, your life's going to be so empty at the end because you're not going to have any of this. Oh, then you will say, well, then I have better things in heaven. Also, you admit that things in heaven are better. Then why don't you grab it now? Because you believe things of this world is better for you right now. That's why. You could say all you want, but your action, your life will show what you truly believe. I truly believe things of heaven are better. That's why I'm already wanting to possess that rather than what I see here on earth. See, Christians are not stupid. We're very practical. I mean, even in this world, if you tell somebody, if you suffer for 20 years, I will give you $1 billion. You know how many people will go through that suffering just to have $1 billion in 20 years? Because they understand. And Christians must understand, God promised you heaven, eternal life. And God says, to participate in my son's life for a little while, just as he has done, then you will participate in his glory in the other world. The biblical motivation for living by faith and loving one another is the hope laid in heaven. That's the motivation that we have as a Christian. Again, this is God's design. We do not make these things up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, after you're saved, You endure a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharer in those who were so treated. So you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Why? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Heavenly things. Hebrews 13, verse 13 and 14. So let us go out to him, Jesus Christ, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For, why? For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come, the eternal city that Jesus Christ has already accomplished spiritually, and one day when he comes, that city will be visible. We do not have lasting city. We are seeking the city to come. So that here, in this visible city that we're living in, let us go out to him. Go out to Jesus Christ, bearing his reproaches. Let us suffer with him. All the people that we see in Hebrews 11 are the children of God who has lived by faith. Faith of heaven. It is not living by sight, but living with the hope laid in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, you could see that every morning you look at the mirror, your outer man is decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This suffering that we go through in this world, God says, is a light affliction. Why? Because he doesn't know how painful your suffering is? No, he knows how painful they are. But compared to the glory that is producing, he cannot help but to say it's a light affliction. That's what Paul said. There's no comparison. If the present suffering, you cannot compare that with the glory that is to come. But God says you cannot serve two masters. You know, maybe you're sitting there going, oh my, it would have been so better if I could have the world and I could have heaven. But see, that's not God's design. He did not design it like that. He says, you cannot serve two masters, and you know what those two masters are? And you probably think, well, two masters, okay, God and Satan. No, he didn't say it like that. He says, you cannot serve two masters, God and wealth. Isn't that interesting? The other master that people want to serve is wealth. Money. And all the things that go with that money. God says love of money is the root of every evil. Money itself, it's not bad. You could use that in good things. But love of money is the root of every evil, God says. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I read this to you so many times. By now, you probably memorized it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, this is how even our Lord lived. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now think about it. I said this many times, right? When Jesus is dying on the cross, what would be that joy that was set before him? Joy of coming down from the cross and live a little bit longer in this world? No. Then what joy is Bible talking about? Well, the joy of heaven. He knows that by what he has done, he will be with his people in that glorious home, heaven, and then there will be just joyous life with his people. For that joy, he could endure the cross. If God endured the cross, having the hope laid in heaven, how else are you going to endure your crosses? Just expecting that you will come down from that cross? No. You do the same. For the joy that's set laid in heaven, you endure your suffering. This is God's method. Our life here on earth, especially if you try to live a godly life, is really hard. I mean, let's face it. It's not easy life. But you must have your mindset on heaven. To this world, this is the worst thing, the most ridiculous thing one could do. I mean, think about it. If you're suffering so much, and someone else comes to you, we're talking about in the context of the world, non-believers. And if you're suffering so much and somebody comes to you and says, endure that suffering, look into heaven. That is the most ridiculous thing that will ever heard that will tell you. What are you talking about? I'm suffering right now and you want me to look to heaven? How is that going to help me? Well, that's what the Bible says. That's why you just have to trust God and believe what he says. And do what he says. And the hope that you have will never disappoint you. See, Christian message, some people think it's unreasonable. But what God is saying is always this. Do you believe? Do you believe all these things? What Christ has done and heaven and everything that Bible speaks of. Do you believe? Then God says, well, live by faith then. Live according to what you say you believe. God is not unreasonable. If you do not believe, then it is really unreasonable. Actually, if you don't believe, then what God says is impossible. But you believe. We must hope in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. As you live your life one more day, you will experience this. Oh, there will be so many stories about you out there. It's just simply not true. But when this happens, God says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Oh, again. If God says, rejoice, Because if you just endure, you know, a little bit, then I will make you rich in this world. I will make you healthy in this world. If God said that, everybody will say, okay, I'll do that. But God says, rejoice, because your reward is in heaven. Yeah, it's a big letdown for so many Christians. But this is the promise. God promised you heaven. He does not promise you this world. Never. He just said, concerning this world, He just said, do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. That He will take care of you. But see, we are never satisfied with just that. We always want more. And then sometimes, so many times, Christians, even using God to have more than just what to eat and what to wear and what to drink. Because to them, God just means giving the worldly things and lots of it. That's not God of the Bible. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see so many stories in the Bible. All they wanted to do is just preach the truth, and they were being persecuted, they were being killed and insulted. But rejoice. You know that now in heaven, oh, they have wonderful life beyond our imagination. And what you could imagine, that's far better than anything we could come up with our sinful brain. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I know you want to live by faith in Jesus Christ. And I know you want to love more your brothers and sisters. God says, if that is what you want to do, then hope in heaven. That's what God says. I know you want to live a godly life. Then hope in heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Jesus Christ purifies himself just as He is pure. If you want to live a pure life, then have this hope that one day Jesus will come back and you will be like Him. Anybody who has this hope will purify himself. If I want you to purify your life, if I want you to live that pure life, what do I have to do as a pastor? Give the hope of heaven. Because anybody who has that hope will purify himself. God's promise. I could tell you, purify yourself. Purify yourself. Don't do that. Don't do that. I could say that to you a trillion times and you're not going to change. But if you have hope in heaven, you will purify yourself. That's God's promise. So my job is to give you hope of heaven. Do you understand? That's not how the world does things. If a world wants to change your behavior, then they have to focus on that behavior. They will tell you about that behavior. Biblical way is, no, we give you hope of heaven. And God says, by knowing God, you have everything pertaining to godly life. So I have to teach you God. By knowing God, and having hope in heaven, you will live that godly life, God's promise. You must have this hope, brothers and sisters. You know, telling you what to do, it will never change you. You know, even God told people what they should not do. Ten Commandments is all of that. Did they change? Even God telling you, don't do this, don't do that, it's not going to change people. Because they heard it. And they were written on the stone and they read it. And Old Testament people, they did not change. Because they never knew God and they never had hope in heaven. It was all about this world. Brothers and sisters, look at what our verse is saying. These people live by faith and they love one another because of the hope laid in heaven. You must get that. Which means if your hope is laid in heaven, then these things will follow. Now don't get into this, oh, how? But that's what the Bible tells you. That's what God says. So trust Him. So let us do that. And we'll come back to this topic next time. Well, next week is Lord's Supper, so week after that. We'll get back to this topic of let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You and give You all the glory, honor, and power. We thank You for the word, the truth, the gospel. That You call us to have the hope laid in heaven. And as we get to know Jesus Christ more and more, everything that pertaining to the eternal life and godly life is already given to us. Oh Father, let us truly understand Your ways and let us obey. So that we will be that person. Or rather, we will witness that we have already become that person that the Bible says who the true Christians are. We thank You and we give You all the glory, honor, and power. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.